How firm a foundation, ye saints of the Lord, he is laid for your faith in his excellent word. What more can he say than to you he has said, you who unto Jesus for refuge have fled?
Hello and welcome to the Olmsted Baptist Church radio broadcast, preaching Jesus Christ, crucified and risen from the dead, for the forgiveness and salvation of sinners, and returning to the earth soon to rule and reign as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And now, here is Pastor Jim Duke with today's message.
I'm glad you're back with us on the broadcast this week, and we left off last time there at the tail end of John chapter 2, verse number 23. Now, when he was in Jerusalem at the Passover, speaking of Jesus, in the feast day, many believed in his name when they saw the miracles which he did. So the Lord worked miracles, and folks are believing in him. But Jesus did not commit himself unto them, because he knew all men. And needed not that any should testify of man, for he knew what was in man. The Lord's saying there, he doesn't need the witness or the testimony of men. The witness and testimony that he has is the sanction of God the Father, the Spirit of God moving as the Word of God has promised, and the coming of the God-man, Jesus Christ himself. He doesn't need the sanction of men to approve about his work, about his ministry, about the salvation that he's coming to win for his people. He doesn't need men to approve of that. I believe that's what that's talking about there. He didn't commit himself to them because he doesn't need their sanction. He doesn't need their witness, because what the plan and design of the Lord is that men hear the word of God. That men hear the word of God. Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. If there's not any word of God, if there's not any word of the Lord that having power amongst the people, in individuals and families and churches and a nation, if there's not the word of God there, having effect, having power, there won't be anything to eat. You mark it down, and you look at the history of nations. Nations that go away from God in time end up in destitute, desolate, and in poverty. That's the way that it is. May the Lord help us in our nation. John chapter 3, verse number 1. Yeah, the account of Nicodemus. Oh, I enjoy so much this chapter and this account of this Pharisee, this leader, this ruler amongst the Jews in the day of the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's such a great thing that the Lord speaks to us in this account of this man. And we remember, and I trust that you know about how it is that Nicodemus, he is saved. He's going to be saved. He will be saved in time. He has this meeting with the Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, as we go through the book of John, the Gospel of John, understand that we get some information about the beginning of the Lord's ministry early on, and some of the things toward in the middle of his ministry. But understand that John is not one of the synoptic Gospels. It's not simultaneous as Matthew, Mark, and Luke are. Matthew, Mark, and Luke, those Gospels give us an overview of the entire ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Gospel of John, it tells us about some of the beginning, some of the middle, but then it fast forwards to the end of the Lord's ministry. And so it's kind of like a magnifying glass there on the last days, that last year, those last months and weeks of the Lord's ministry. And so John is kind of a focus in on the end of what the other Gospels give us, not being a synoptic Gospel. Here, Nicodemus, he will be saved. And this meeting with the Lord and the witness of the Lord to him, no doubt, is what the Lord uses to save him. And so let's read John 3, verse number 1. John chapter 3, verse 1. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. If we understand correctly, Nicodemus maybe sits on the Sanhedrin. He's one of the 70 elders that's there. Other accounts in the Gospels are going to tell us that he gives answer to the elders, and they rebuke him for his answer. for the question rather that he brings up about the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 2, the same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, or master, teacher, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. The way that I see this and understand it and the way that I refer to it, Nicodemus comes to the Lord. He comes to him by night. He may be bashful and kind of backward about coming to the Lord, and so he comes at a more protected time, maybe a time that he wouldn't be seen. That's what's always supposed. Maybe it just worked out in Nicodemus' schedule that this was the only time that he could come to him. But nevertheless, he comes to him privately, it seems, to the Lord Jesus Christ in a more private fashion. He says, we know that you can't do what you're doing except God be with you. And in a sense, what Nicodemus is asking is, who are you and what are you doing? We know the miracles that you're working, that you've got to be from God. God's got to be working in you. See, already understand that just in this short time, and what in the account as we've read it here in the book of John, the first two chapters, and now Nicodemus coming to the Lord Jesus Christ, understand that already the miracles that the Lord Jesus Christ has worked are more prolific than any other prophet that has ever come. And I believe I can say that because the Lord Jesus Christ has worked miracles already that have never been done, that have never been done by any other man of God. And other men of God, prophets of the Lord, have worked miracles, Moses being most notable, being used of God and being the instrument in God's hand to work some of those plagues. If you go back and take a look at the plagues that were meted out upon Israel, the Lord meting out the last plague and the death of the firstborn, Moses had no part in that. And then the other nine, Moses didn't have part in all of those. Maybe, if my memory serves me right, maybe about four or five of them. Sometimes it was at the hand of Moses that he would declare that the plague was going to come about. Other times, the Lord just initiated it when he was pleased to do so. But the Lord has already worked miracles that far and exceed the prophets. And if you will, probably, and as we see in the miracles, with little fanfare, the Lord Jesus Christ, as according to the indication of the scriptures, he isn't even carrying a staff. Now he may, but the scriptures don't indicate it, as Moses had a staff, a rod that he used that seemed to be present with him a lot. And the Lord told him to take a staff with him. It was from that staff, from that rod, that the snake, the serpent, was manifested there before Pharaoh and ate up the serpents of the Janus and Jambres there, the astrologers and magicians of Egypt. So Nicodemus comes to the Lord and he says, who are you and what are you doing? Because you can't be doing what you're doing unless God's with you. Verse 3, Jesus answered and said unto him, and it is always this way with the Lord Jesus Christ. Nicodemus comes with a question and he's wanting answers. But the Lord Jesus Christ is going to deal with this man. He's going to deal with this sinner in his need. And I tell you what, it blesses my soul. It blesses my heart in the way that the Lord Jesus Christ works. He's always looking to the need of the sinner. No matter how we're distracted, no matter what we've got our focus on, no matter what it is that's got our attention, the Lord Jesus Christ, with his word, comes straight to us, to our need. Nicodemus says, who are you and what are you doing? And the Lord Jesus Christ answers this. Verse number 3 of chapter 3, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And I want you to hang on to that word see. Nicodemus, a man's got to be born again to see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus comes asking the question, who are you and what are you doing? God's got to be with you. And the Lord says, verily, verily, when you see those words, verily, verily, it's very, very important. You cannot do without it. I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus, until you're born again, you won't see and you won't understand what I'm all about. you won't see it. You won't see the revealing of the kingdom of God. You won't see it. You won't understand it. You won't comprehend it. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, Nicodemus, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. That's the way it is with you. You that are here this morning under the listening of my voice, unless you're born again, you're not going to see the kingdom of God. The things of God are not going to mean a thing to you. They're not going to have any significance. You're not even going to be able to notice them when they might be there plainly working in front of your face. You need to be born again. You need to be saved. You need to be birthed of God, as he's going to go on to tell us. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus, verse 4, saith unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Little old babies that are born, even premature babies that might only weigh a couple pounds, or healthy babies that weigh 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 pounds. The mama that delivers a 10-pound bouncing baby, boy, she really has a time with that. But it's a blessing for that child to be born, a blessing of God and the giving of life. And Nicodemus says, me being a grown man, how can I enter into my mother's womb and be born again? What's Nicodemus doing? He's doing the same thing that you and I do naturally. He's thinking naturally. What's it natural for us to do? To think naturally? We're all about this natural life. It's what we know. It's what we've experienced. It's what we're most familiar with. If you will, it's what we're expert at, in that it's all that we know. It's all that we understand in and of ourselves is this natural life. What happens in this world? It's what we're comfortable with. And so that's the way Nicodemus thinks. I've got to be born again to see the kingdom of God. How can I get back in my mother's belly and be born again? I'm a grown man. Verse 5. Jesus answered. Again, dealing with Nicodemus again. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. The first time the Lord Jesus Christ said, see the kingdom of God. This second time, as Nicodemus has expressed his consternation about being born again, how can I, as a grown man, go back into my mother's belly and be born again? He doesn't get it. He doesn't understand. The Lord says, Nicodemus, except you be born of water and of the Spirit, you can't enter into the kingdom of God. What I believe is bearing out here, and the Lord's even going to give us more clarity to it in the next verse, is that he's saying, yeah, you've got to have that water birth, Nicodemus. You've got to be a people. You have to have arrived here on this earth. You've got to be alive. But what the Lord is going to talk to Nicodemus more about, and what he's bringing to him, is the stat of the Spirit. In verse 5 there in the middle, except a man be born of water, the physical birth, and of the Spirit, being born again, the second birth, spiritual birth, salvation, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Folks arrive on this earth by birth. We've all been born of our mothers. That's how we got here and how we have our physical bodies. The Lord has given us a soul in that creation of us and our mother's wombs. That conception that took place and the creating of life in the hand of God, and then we have come forth from our mothers to be born into this life. That's that water birth. But the spiritual birth is a second birth. That is to be born again. That is salvation. And without it, you can't see the kingdom of God and you can't enter into the kingdom of God. Well, I see that our time has passed, and farewell until next time. May the Lord bless you with his word and his truth.
Thank you for tuning in and listening to our broadcast. We wish to invite you, your family, and friends to our services on Sundays at 10 a.m., 11 a.m., and 2 p.m., and Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. Olmsted Baptist Church is located in southwest Logan County, Kentucky, just 2.5 miles off of U.S. Highway 79. Between Russellville and Guthrie, turn onto State Route 775, also known as Olmsted Road. Drive 2.5 miles and you will find our church house on the right, just beside Whippoorwill Creek. We're interested in any questions or comments you might have about our broadcast. Feel free to contact us by telephone at 270-726-7918, by email at obchurch@gmail.com, or on the web at www.olmstedbaptistchurch.org. Tune in next Sunday at this same time for another edition of the Olmsted Baptist Church radio broadcast.